Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
May 3rd, welcome back to Edgewood. I'm Zach Phillips. I'm joined here today by Alex Smith, the sports show presented by Pinnacle. As always, before we get into today's games, before we recap last night, I want to remind people that if you haven't already, make sure to sign up at Pinnacle Sportsbook. Pinnacle's the world's sharpest sportsbook and is available in Ontario. You can find out what professional bettors have known for decades. Pinnacle is where the best bettors play. You must be 19 plus and in Ontario. Please play responsibly and remember, not available in the US. The other thing I want to remind people, go click the link in the description here if you are into NHL trivia, different trivia sets every single day, Monday through Friday, starting on May 6th. We did it before for the NFL. We'll be doing it here again for the NHL. You want to prove to your friends that you know more. You want to prove that you know more than us here on the Edgework Show. A bunch of us will be hopping in there doing daily trivia. You can go in there and test your skills against us on draftparty.net. So click the link in the description to sign up today. Head on over there and we will get that going. We'll be going head to head with some of you guys, especially in the chat and on podcast, talking about everything that's going on. Before we get into the games today, let's get into last night's game. I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm on top of the world here this morning, gentlemen. I mean, come out strong. This Leafs team absolutely buzzing for the last two games. You tie this thing up. I listened to Boston Sports Radio for about half an hour this morning before we started the show, just listening to those guys try to justify what's going on there, going back to game seven, the vibe that they're feeling. I'm in a pretty good mood right now. So many, you were a Leaf going into this one. You feel like that's being justified. You feel like we're in a good spot as Leafs fans right now. So money.
Yeah, sorry, it was a little out of sorts there. Sorry about that. I mean we touched on this yesterday, right? Like, you can tell a lot if you're able to kind of read between the lines of coach speak and like understand body language of players, like in certain situations. And we're seeing that coming out of the Bruins camp, right? Like we touched on Montgomery. In what situation do you have a coach in between playoff games telling the media that he's still pissed about the previous game, right? In what situation do you have a coach after a game six loss going into game seven calling out one of the best players on your team, yeah, right? In what situation do you have, in the middle of game six, you have a coach give the bench to one of his players to get him to fire up the team because they're not feeling it? They, for whatever reason, they haven't shown up for a game six, right? So all these things are contributing factors to a team that's really tight right now. And it stems back to last year as well. I believe there was a closeout game the year before last year too, where it's just they're just tight. And in that situation, you need a coach, you need a player, you need something to just loosen up the mood, right? You need someone to go out and practice and wear a pink shirt, right? You need someone to like take on Joseph Wall's attitude or like Nylander's attitude, right? Like, it's like, these are high intense games. These are highly wound situations where if you're going to get tight, you need to find a way to get it loose, right? And like, it's not just in sports and hockey and in life as well, right? Like, you can't be that tightly wound all the time, because, and to take a metaphor from hockey, right? Like, you're just going to be gripping your stick, and it's just it's not going to do you well. So, I mean, We're seeing it right now with Boston. They're just super tight right now.
Well, we got the Bruins being super tight. It feels like on the other side, you've got the Leafs ultimately just kind of loosened up here. Like, it feels like the whole team's taking on that mantra. You see Nylander before the game yesterday. He's doing a live TV hit pregame. He's got no shirt on the bench. He's wearing the headset. They ask him about the mindset being down in the series, trying to come back. And he says, with the expletive, we're just fucking playing. Like, these guys are just in the mindset of it's house money at this point. Like, you go down 3-1, everyone counts you out. That's it. Alex B., at this point, have you started to buy in and belief again?
Well, I mean, I'm not believing, but I'm not rolling with the bees either. I mean, these are two tortured franchises right now that are at a crossroads where, honestly, whoever loses this game, it's going to affect them not just for right now being eliminated from the postseason. Probably affect them for the next 2 or 3 years. I mean, we could be talking about coaching changes, which – seems absurd with Jim Montgomery, right? I mean, this guy had the best record in the league history last year. Most points, had another great run, with the lineups being changed around. But two good regular seasons mean nothing if you blow 2-3-1 leads in the opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs back-to-back years. So we could be talking about that. Obviously, we know all the issues with Toronto. This could be, Keith's last turnaround, the core four gets blown apart if they lose this game. So this is massive for more than just who goes to the conference semifinals. This is big for both franchises down the line. And it's just captivating as a hockey fan to see, this series means just a lot more than going to the next round. But what could happen in the future for the Leafs and the Bruins, these two historic franchises?
I think so, one thing Leafs fans are going to be really happy with, there's so many, as well as Alex touched on a little bit about the history of the franchises, is their ability to end Jack Edwards' career there last night. Send that man off sad. That's something in Leafs fans, no matter what, can pat themselves on the back for after last night.
Yeah, so I mean, one thing I have to push back on Alex on, and like I can't let this go because maybe Alex has a different definition of a tortured fan base with his recent Blackhawks rings, but There's nothing tortured about the Bruins fans, right? Like they've gotten their rings. Like, no, that's
they got their one ring in 2011. Ever since then, it's been chaos and mayhem. I mean, getting all the way to the game 7 in 2019. Like they've had their torture.
Yeah, that's enough.
I know, but look, Alex, look, you've had two rings in your lifetime, right? Three rings in your life, right? And you're talking to two guys here, right, who have never had any sort of ring,
right?
So, I mean, there's a spectrum of torture here.
Yes.
Alex, I watched one second round playoff series for the first time since, like, 2008 or something. Like, come on. Come on.
I was there before. I remember the 90s and the 2000s when the Stanley Cup seemed like a far, long away dream. It things change over time. But this is definitely one of those games where we could see the progression or regression of these two teams based off of what happens in this game. So.
Yeah. The one thing I think I take solace in with the Leafs sending this thing to 7, watching the way that they played, or watching these, is the way that they played. Like, this was not fluking into wins. And I mean, on top of that, your power play is fucking 1-for-20 through 6 games of this series. Even if you go stretch that a little bit, you go 4-for-20. I mean, throw in just 3 more power play goals. There's a possibility the Leafs have wrapped this thing up already. Like, obviously, there's some pushback that the Bruins can have themselves, but like, you're talking about a couple more goals here in a couple different games. Even last night, you win 2-1 with the 0.1 seconds left the Bruins score with, but you had 6 minutes of power plays. You had 3 power plays. You don't score on any of those. They played an incredible game otherwise at 5-on-5. You score earlier in the first period on the first one, or you score in the second period on one of the 4-minute power play. That game could have felt a whole lot different. It could have been a little bit less tense and wrapped up earlier. Like, outside of that, I think this team has played really well in those 2 games and then pretty well in the first 3 games. You played the worst fucking game I've ever seen a team play in the playoffs in game 4. And outside of that, you've had a pretty tidy series. you go back to Boston here now, and I mean, one of the things I'm hearing them say is, and it's the one thing that they keep holding on to, that they're like, oh, well, we're going to be fine. I'm listening to the Boston sports radio is, well, it's the Maple Leafs, so they choke, so we're okay. They're not worried about their own team and the deficiencies that they've had, or the fact that David Pastrnak hasn't showed up. I mean, regardless of Monty calling him out or not, he hasn't been that good. He hasn't necessarily showed up on the score sheet. They're not worried about that stuff because in their minds, the Maple Leafs, they choke. And that's what the Maple Leafs are going to do. All I'm hoping for as a fan of the Maple Leafs is do not disappear in Game 7 here. If you lose Game 7, you lose Game 7. But for the love of God, show up and fight in Game 7. Make it a scrap and go down swinging, even if you lose. That's all I'm asking for. Obviously, I'd love to get through this round, but that's what I need in this Game 7. Fight.
That's completely fair. Yeah.
All right. That's all I had to get out for the Leafs game last night. An exciting one. I did post game last night for like 2 hours talking about it. People are absolutely jacked up about the Leafs. But so money tonight, we've got an opportunity to be jacked up about the Vancouver Canucks and our Dallas Stars as an Edgeworth crew. So let's start with the Canucks on the road here against the Predators. Nashville's currently sitting minus 124. The Canucks plus 113. We see totals of 5.5 in this game. So money, I will give you the floor. Talk us through the Vancouver Canucks game here tonight. An opportunity to close out this series and advance on to round two. Currently sitting at underdogs or as underdogs here in game six.
Yeah, so I did bet the Canucks before we came on the show here. I have them down to plus 105. So there is quite a bit of value that I have here on the Canucks. This is a very loose team, right? Like it's so you compare a team like the Canucks to where Boston is right now, right? Like, the Canucks are heavier favorites, and it's more likely that they should have won this series. But you go back and like you watch our preview show, right? And we talked about this, right? Where there was a path to Nashville winning this series, and there still is a path, right? They have a goaltender who does have the ability to get to Demko's level. Now, obviously, Demko's out, but goaltending is not a problem here for the Canucks in this series so far. And then you also have a defenseman who can get up to Quinn Hughes' level, right? So there's not a lot of teams that can match the Canucks like that. And then we felt that ultimately, the Canucks have more top-end firepower, which we're kind of seeing. There's flashes in this series where you see that when the Canucks are able to get to a certain level, Nashville can't get there. Now, the problem is getting that to happen. We have to keep in mind that the Canucks are a team that all season their DNA is to carry the puck, right? They carry the puck with speed through the neutral zone, get into the zone. That's the way they play. Now, we're essentially asking a team to change the way they play, because what Nashville is doing is they're getting their three forwards in deep. They're clogging up the neutral zone. So how do you counter that if you're a team that relies on carrying the puck, right? So you need to have the quick passes. I saw a lot of that coming in game five. These things take a while, right? You can't just expect the team to change the way that they play. So I started seeing that in game five. The shots on goal, they don't, it's low, but they don't tell the full story, right? So like what I'm looking for is how the Canucks are entering the zone, right? How are they still turning the puck over in their own zone, which was happening quite a bit. So I'm seeing a lot of good signs now in game five, where I feel confident that, I don't want to say they're figuring it out, but they are figuring out the way that they need to play. And in the end, this series was going to come down to whether the Canucks big guys are going to be able to get a goal, right? JT Miller has been outstanding. Brock Besser has been great. He had that hat trick, but like also like throughout the games, he's been generating chances and stuff. Connor Garland's line, besides one game, I think that they need to get going. Obviously, PD needs to get going, right? So, I mean, the Canucks were not going to win this series if their top guys didn't show up, right? And I think that that we're starting to see that, right? There was a reason why I wanted Vegas, didn't want the Kings or the Predators, right? It's all about the matchups in the playoffs. So I feel confident that the Canucks are figuring it out. They're a loose team. They got some practice time in, which we've been shown throughout the season that once they have a bad couple of games or coming off a loss, they get to practice, they get loose. They're a good road team. So I feel confident that we're going to see the Canucks' best game tonight. Keep in mind, that doesn't say much because the teams that have been better theoretically in these games end up losing, right? So I think that that's all you can do at this point, right? You can just play your best game. So I think I'm confident with that. And yeah, here we go.
So we lock in Canucks plus 113. That's our first best bet of the day. We got two best bets or two games here. So first one locked in. We're in, go to the fine Betstamp app. You can find us in the Find Better section as Edgework HQ if you want to track all the picks that we have throughout the course of the show, throughout the playoffs, throughout the regular season this year, dating back to last year as well. You can see all of our bets in there. Alex, do you have anything else for us here? I see you're rocking that nice Canucks jersey this morning.
Yeah, no, I'm rolling with the Canucks as well. I think this is where they step up and bring their biggest game of the year. You know, like I said, have those top-tier guys actually dominate this game and play their style of hockey. I think, you know, you have to take command and control. And like I said, I feel like both these teams, and they did this during the regular season against certain opponents, they just kind of played into the other opponent's styles. Because they have that adaptable formality, they can play however you wish, but they let the control of the game go to their opponent. So I think, you know, whoever can take command of the series, that's the thing. No one has really taken command. You know, we've seen bursts, and that's where the goals have come from. But there's never just been a dominant just, oh, the Canucks just ran this game completely up and down, or the Preds have ran this game completely up and down, in my opinion. So I think the Canucks step up here. It's a JT Miller, Pedersen, you know, people have been questioning him in this series. I think those guys get things done, and we see a Canucks advance.
There you go. Feels good. So money feels good. Excited about this one here tonight. I can't wait to be tuning in. Just from a fan perspective, what are your nerve levels? Like what's the excitement? What's the energy that's going on? Is there a little bit of tension? Just take us through that.
Yeah. So as a Canucks fan, there's always tension, right? They could be up 3-0 and there's going to be tension. Right. So, but I'm excited. I feel hopeful. And if the Canucks do win this game, I'm telling you, the pink shirt is going to become a thing, right? Just like how the towel became a rallying cry. Like, it's the pink shirt is going to start happening here.
Oh, the towel that everyone stole from you guys? Is that the towel?
Yeah. Exactly. Where's Matt Russell? We need to get him on here right now.
All right, final game of the night. Let's take a look at the Dallas Stars. The Vegas Golden Knights go head-to-head. Dallas, an opportunity to close this one out on the road here in Vegas. We see the Golden Knights plus 101, best price available there at Pinnacle, obviously, here, sponsor of the show. Make sure you sign up for the Pinnacle Sportsbook. On the other side, the Dallas Stars minus 110. Yet again, totals of 5.5 right across the board. Alex B., what are your thoughts on this game and where we see the number currently sitting at right now?
Well, it's been impressive to see how Dallas has just progressed in getting better and better and better as a team, you know, in this series. And we've been seeing the emergence yet again of Jake Oettinger. When he is playing his A game, he's one of the best goaltenders in the world. No goals allowed in the third period throughout this entire series, and that's the kind of play you need. That's the money period. The third period where you shut things down, you get things rolling in your direction in order to lead the victory. They couldn't get the offense rolling in that last game, but they were able to get the timely saves, able to play defense, able to clear out the zone when needed at the right time, and that led to Dallas getting the win. And so now here they are going back to Vegas. where they've already taken two wins in this series and they can close it out. I like Dallas here in this spot, and I laid the price. I actually laid $1.09 with them overnight last night. I think Dallas wraps this series up. And this Vegas team, you know, obviously a valiant effort as defending Stanley Cup champions. They've had a hell of a calendar year, but I think the wear and tear has kind of led to them being in this spot now, and I think Dallas can finish them off.
All right, so there you go. Dallas -110, second best bet. So Money, where are you at here with this Stars team? I know you've been a big proponent of them. Our group chat is firing every single time that these guys are playing, and an opportunity to knock out your buddy Slam Deal, and then we can just block him from the chat forever after this.
Promise? Yeah, I mean, look, like Dallas is we've touched on this a few times in this series now, and Alex mentioned it too, and he nailed it, right? They're every game they're starting to get better and better. They're finding their legs. They've skated their way back into the series, right? And Vegas has let them, right? So we gave Vegas a lot of credit in the first two games because against what I thought Vegas was capable of, they prevented Dallas from skating, right? And one of the reasons I wanted to play Vegas in the first round for the Canucks was that I felt that the Canucks would be able to skate on Vegas. And as this series has progressed, we're seeing that the style of play that the Golden Knights wanted to play this series was not sustainable against a team that's frankly better, right? Better in a lot of respects, faster, and they weren't able to sustain that, right? So as this series has gone on, we're seeing a Dallas team skate their way into this series. And I don't think Vegas has any answers at this point. I know that in game five, Vegas tried to make it a low-event game again, which for the most part they kind of did. But we're seeing that there's a Dallas level right now that Vegas is not able to get to. So like this, for a lot of the reasons that Alex touched on as well. And the other thing too is that especially in the playoffs time, I can't stress this enough, right? Like, you have high emotion after the games, where you get the coaches on, and sometimes they reveal too much, frankly, than they should, right? And we saw one of the things that stood out to me is Cassidy saying that his team was tired, right? And I don't understand where that's coming from, right? So, I mean, you have to listen to the coaches. You have to read body language. You have to get in between, read in between the line what the coaches are saying. Montgomery is telling you that his team is tight, right? Cassidy is telling you that his team is tired, right? Like these are things that go beyond your model numbers, especially in the playoffs, right? My model cannot pick up right now how tired Vegas is, right? But there's a coach, yep, the coach telling me that Vegas is tired, right? So, I mean, you have to make your own inferences on that. So I do like Dallas here. I did bet them, and I think that they close it out tonight.
Oh boy, here we go. We got double best bets on the Dallas Stars and everyone back in the Vancouver Canucks. I like it because we're all heading in the same direction here. Let's get all of our energy behind one thing. We'll put it towards that. We'll do it in both. So there you go. There's another best bet locked in. And double best bet on this one. Dallas Stars -110. Last thing I kind of wanted to ask you guys about for you, we obviously know that we don't do the Saturday show. For those in the chat, we know we don't do the Saturday show. We got a game 7 tomorrow. I'm not going to ask you guys to make bets or anything like that, obviously, on this. But I'm just curious your thoughts on where we're seeing the opening number currently on Leafs Bruins game 7 right now. So Boston heading back home. It feels as though right now, and based on everything we've heard, Matthews unlikely to play yet again here in game 7. The number right now currently sitting, Bruins -138, Leafs +125. So Money, what are your early thoughts on where this... Yo, Slam Deal, I'm going to block this guy in the chat saying Bruins -1.5 right away. So Money, what are your thoughts on the number as it is right now? Where do you kind of see this thing maybe moving to over the next couple of, over the next 24 hours? And are you going to have any interest in it? Is there a certain number that you're looking for?
Yeah, so I think we'll see it go back and forth a little bit before before game day where the Bruins should take some money, right? Like home team in game seven, generally speaking, will take money. Obviously, once Austin Matthews is confirmed out, I believe that he is going to be out. But once that is confirmed, then we'll see Boston take some more money as well. So I will most likely be betting Toronto. Of course, I need the number to be able to bet on it. But if we're able to get plus 133, so the mid 130s is where I want the Bruins. It's where I want the Leafs. Slam dunk got me rattled here. So low to mid 130s is where I want to get in on the Leafs. We've touched on the reasons. There's a lot of things beyond the numbers and beyond the X's and O's here that I'm seeing, especially between the heads of both teams. There's a lot of narratives here. But playoffs are about matchups and narratives, right? Like there's kind of the tea leaves you have to read constantly. So I do like Toronto here, and so just get me to the low to mid plus 130s, and I think we'll get there tomorrow, and I'll be on the Leafs.
Alex, what are your early thoughts on where we've seen this number come out? I mean, we see in the chat inside mentioning Bruins opened minus 145 for game five there. Like just kind of how we've seen the progression of the numbers, some changes based on whether it's in Boston, in Toronto, Matthews in, Matthews out, the news battle that we've seen in the marketplace. What are your thoughts on the numbers right now, just early ahead of this game?
I think it's a hair bit too high for Boston, but like I said, you understand it's game seven with the home team, and everybody's looking obviously at the narrative, right, of, oh, well, the Leafs choke all the time. So that's going to play into that as well. You're not going to have the people looking at, oh, Boston might blow a 3-1 lead again and coming back on Toronto as much. So if you're looking at the narrative side, then obviously the price is going to be driven toward Boston's favor. Personally, I don't have to do anything. I have plus money that's cashing either way, and I had the series to go seven games. So I won't be betting anything. I won't be adding on anything at all in this spot. But value-wise, if I didn't have anything in pocket previously, I would have to be looking at Leafs or nothing.
So, Money, I'm interested where you kind of come in on these playoff games, especially the one-offs. Like, we know that the public money is not going to influence lines, but when it comes to bigger games, i.e. a March Madness final or a Super Bowl or an NBA final, those kinds of things will start to pop up where you kind of start to see, hey, maybe there's a lot more money in the marketplace. So it's not just the sharp bettors that are going to be moving these lines and kind of influencing that. And it's not like the public is going to come in and drastically swing things from one way to the other, but there will be some influence. Have you ever noticed that this comes up in these one-off spots? Like, you have a solo standing game seven tomorrow night. It's Saturday night. It's going to be a marquee game. It's going to be on national television. Is this an opportunity where maybe public money actually does start to have some type of influence on the number in the game?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and I've seen it firsthand too, just in past experiences where you see money coming in a certain way. So it standalone games, game seven, Saturday night, it does matter. There is going to be more liquidity in the market. Mm-hmm. Now it's not going to be to the extent of a NBA game seven or obviously any sort of NFL standalone game, but there is going to be more money in the market tomorrow. And So there will be more liquidity tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, fair enough. The other thing I'll say about the game here, Connor, and or I guess I including the Leafs, Connor had asked, is AM34 going to come back at all these playoffs? If he's not playing game seven, doesn't sound like he would. Insight also bringing up he's dealing with a knee injury. The honest truth is I've done all the digging I possibly can to try to find this out and find out what's going on here. We see videos of him on the ice. You see stuff about he skated yesterday for 30 minutes before. You saw him in Boston skating. He only got out for 4 minutes. That was when that day we saw insane market movement, moving everything across. It moved basically like 20 cents just from him being on the ice. And then he was announced out and it swung right back the other way. Like, as for what I know about him being out and not playing, and the information that I could give is that he's dealing with something pretty serious that the team has determined is detrimental to his health had if he goes out on the ice. So like they've decided he cannot play because this is going to be something that could actually negatively impact him long term and can severely hurt him more than what he's already dealing with. That's why he's not playing. I've seen stuff about its head, its back, its neck, its knee. No one knows. Like, no one knows. We don't know what he's dealing with, but all I could say is if this guy was capable of playing, he would be playing. That's the information that I've got.
Which, yeah, that makes it scarier, because now if that you're talking about something where, okay, if it gets unveiled, they lose game seven, and now we're talking about, oh, he's out for, you know, the entire rest of the summer and maybe misses camp and maybe misses the beginning of next year. So that, like I said, you know, that could be something to keep an eye on, not just now, but later.
Yeah.
And that brings me to something that like really, really pisses me off. Right. Like I can't tell you how much it pisses me off when we speculate about players' injuries and we equate that to their heart level or like how much they want to play. You don't think Auston Matthews wants to play in a game seven tomorrow, right? Like these players, like they get to this point and all of a sudden they're going to be like, nah, fuck it. I don't want to play, right? Like it doesn't work like that. There's obviously something there that we don't know about, that the team doctors and trainers, they know something that, and we don't have that information, right? So clearly, it's not some sort of illness where he's got a cold or something and he doesn't want to play, right? Like there's something seriously there. So, I mean, we need to be cognizant of that. And like before we like compare players as well, right? Like this guy came back from this guy, right? Like we don't even know what Auston Matthews has, right? So it's like, how can we possibly say that he's not coming back tough enough or like he doesn't want to play? It's just like all this nonsense I read all the time or hear all the time. Like it's absolutely ridiculous. Like there's no way that Auston Matthews does not want to play in Boston tomorrow. Like there's just no way. You can't get to this level in sports, in life. You can't get to an elite level without having that competitiveness in you, without having that. Even a guy like Mitch Marner, right? Like we like to shit on him and stuff, but like you don't think he wants to do well, right? Like. Yeah. It's just sometimes there's like things between your head. Sometimes there's like other factors that, again, we don't have the full information. So because we don't have that full information, we can't. That's Chad. We can't. we can't sit there making judgments about these people. So I mean, there's like something huge there, and like we just don't have that information now.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, we see a lot of speculation online, obviously, myself doing a lot of the Leaf stuff. I see people saying, oh, he doesn't want to play, doesn't have the heart, doesn't have the guts, he's too soft, or whatever. It's like the only thing that's hurting these guys right now is that we have 8 billion cameras on practice. I'm not like blaming the media. I'm just saying this is the circumstance that you had to deal with. So now it's like, oh, he's out on the ice and people see a video of him skating. They're like, well, if he can skate, why is he not playing? It's like, well, I mean, you just have all these cameras on. You don't know how he's feeling in those situations. But that's interesting to see regardless, interesting to see how this one plays out over the next couple of days and if he's able to get back. But that'll do it for us for today's show. We appreciate everyone who's tuned in here. If you haven't already, hit that like button before you leave, subscribe here to the channel, turn on notifications, all that good stuff. We do appreciate all the support as we wrap up the first round here. We'll start to prepare ourselves for the second round, get some second round series previews and everything like that out. Sign up for the NHL trivia over at draftparty.net. You can find the link to that in the description of this video and on podcast form, so make sure to check that out. But thanks to everyone who tuned in. As for our best bets, we got two games today, two best bets. Head over to the BetStamp app in the Find Better section as Edgework HQ to find it. We're going to go with the Canucks money line plus 113. And then we are also going to go with the Dallas Stars money line minus 110. Those are our two best bets. Thanks to everyone who tuned in here. We appreciate it as always. So money, Alex B. Thank you guys. Barring any changes to schedule and depending on how things go, I think we're back Monday. We'll be back if there's NHL games on those days. If there's no games, no show, but you can find us on Twitter at EdgeworkHQ for show announcements. We'll also post it on YouTube here. So turn on notifications so you get notified if we do post something. But if there's games, you'll see us back here Monday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. If not, we'll see you guys next week at some point. Enjoy the games tonight. Good luck on your bets.